But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty. You're listening on 1080 AM. Watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday afternoon. And this popped up really as we were getting ready to kick off today's show. And we've batted this idea around and whether or not it would be something that would happen. But after, I guess, being against it, the Big Ten might now be for it. There are reports now that the Big Ten is actively seeking preliminary bids from private equity firms after retaining an investment bank. That investment bank is Evercore. Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti has flat out said, we are not interested in doing this. As recently, I believe it was like 3 weeks ago. And now they expressed skepticism about the upside of private equity. That seems to have gone out the window. I would imagine somebody got their money right, and they went, yeah, it's a lot of money. Should we say no to that?
Yeah, this is going to be tricky, though, because any investment firm that comes in is going to want to get their cut back, right? Mm-hmm. Remember when the Big 12 was going through this, what is like an $800 million investment with like a 15 to 20% stake in the conference? That means they're going to want to get their money on the back end of this thing. How does that look with the House settlement? Mm-hmm. Where, and I think one of the things that Petitti was always, you know, cautious about or apprehensive of with these investment firms is like, look, there's nothing in what he's said before is there's nothing that they can do for us that we can't do ourselves, right? Because having the Big 12 do it or the ACC do it, they need an injection of cash flow because they can't actually do it right now.
No.
Like they can't keep up with the Joneses. If the Joneses say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and we're going to add some of our own. That could be like what truly buries everybody else. I just don't see how, as it stands, and maybe this may be a sign of, look, all of these public institutions, you're privatizing college sports.
Yep.
And that this may be kind of either due diligence and just seeing what is out there and how that could look, or it could be when this House settlement goes, boy, it's gonna go down a road of straight up privatizing college athletics.
Yeah, which I ultimately there's plenty of arguments against it, but the reason why it becomes privatized is what were we talking about yesterday? Collective bargaining, unions.
Yeah.
Like we're careening down that path.
Man, I just think, and I think that this is being leaked out there because you know that the next, what is it? I think in two weeks, the Big Ten and the SEC are meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And in that meeting,
this is going to come up.
They're getting their ducks in a row of, all right, what does this look like for us?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to position ourselves to be in a position of power moving forward if all of these other conferences do get an injection of money and they have their own flow. Because make no mistake, that's what this is all about.
Yeah, because what if the Big 12, what if the private equity in Texas, i.e. oil, decides that they're going to be...
What's in it for them, though?
Prestige. And probably money on the back end. That's the thing, is I think this is money on the back end. And if you're talking about the private equity that they're kind of talking about, these aren't firms that are looking for immediate return on investment. This is long haul forecasting type stuff. This is like, again, I'm not saying the Saudi money, but like that's the kind of when those kind of in private equity firms come in, they're looking for the power vacuum and the long tail run out. And now it may cost them and it might bite them and it might fail. But I think the institution of college football is so strong and so reinforced. They're looking at that as going, this isn't something that's risky. It may take a very long time for us to get it back, but the long tail of getting it back is significantly worth it.
Where I see it as, this is far more dicey. It's far more of a gamble on the investment firm side of it, or private equity side of it, than it is from the conference level, right? Because the conferences, you know, Big Ten just signed a $7 billion television deal. Okay. But if you're the private equity firm, how much has college football changed and college athletics changed in the last 6 months? Mm-hmm. How much has it changed in the last 6 years?
Yeah, the valuation on it can change. How much has it
changed in the last decade? No, I'm just talking about the actual rules of governance.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, right? That changes the valuation standard.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the entire landscape of college sports is completely different. Yes. And getting involved in something that is so tumultuous right now, that is a gamble. And that's where I say, I don't know if it's the best idea for the private equity firm, because coming over the top might be the United States government saying, you know, this isn't going to happen. We're done here.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's where I'm saying that's not the investment going up. The investment obviously has gone up, but you don't know. The federal government could just come in and say, nope, done, because we have no idea where it's going to go right now.
The valuation part of it is what I'm saying. It's not stagnant. That's the volatility in it with how everything has changed in the last 6 years is the thing that I think would make them have pause. But if you're talking about college football as an institution, it's of what it is, I think those two things are very separate. And that, to your point, yes, the valuation of it could be all over the place because of how volatile it is.
Well,
because here's the exact number that they're talking about. This group was they're talking this is from Yahoo Sports a couple weeks ago, the Super League, the Project Rudy thing. Okay, this was a 70-team Super League.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is Smash Capital, which, what a stupid name. It's former Disney executive, so what do you expect? But there's four power conferences, and it was 70-team Super League. They would be infused with $9 billion in cash right out of the gate. $9 billion in cash. You just talked about a TV deal for an entire, 18 teams in the Big Ten now?
Mm-hmm.
$7 billion over, what was that, eight years? It was a 6 or 8.
I don't know how long it was.
It wasn't like the 15-year that the ACC signed, that nightmare fuel. But I remember it being a little bit longer, if I'm not mistaken. It was a 6 or 8. But
7 year.
Seven, okay. Smack that in the middle. So it was $1 billion a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about $9 billion investment up front.
Yeah.
That is, again, you're talking a lot more teams, 70 versus 18. You're more than tripling it, but you're more than tripling the investment.
Yes.
Like, that's nuts.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of schools that get out of it. And look, I don't know. The value of college football in the ties to it, if it gets too tied up in that big money there.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes truly privatized, I don't know if it will have the same weight. I think the ties to the universities would get further and further apart. And that's good. That's like the dicey part.
Ties in name only.
Yeah, and I don't think it would have that draw as much as it would have. Like, this is such a weird time for college athletics.
It's a weird time for the world. Everything is becoming more isolated.
Yeah. And that's where,
and monetized
private equity. It's a gamble.
Oh, look, for them. I don't think they should do it. Let me state that clearly. I don't think they should do it.
Could you imagine, like, major colleges shutting down because they have to foot the bill because the private equity firm comes back and is like, hey, we want our money now.
I don't know. Some of those fake degrees might go away. I wouldn't necessarily be against that. Underwater basket weaving. You know.
Isn't that that's just a class? You can't major in that. If you can, I'd love that.
San Diego State had not a, you're right, it was a class.
Surfing.
They do major in surfing. There was another one that they have. It was either San Diego State or USD. I can't remember. That was, God, what was it? Something else ocean related where it was like beach going.
Mm, nice.
And I was like, yo, what?
Yeah. I mean, I think Southern has outdoor recreation as a major.
Oh, there you go.
Where, I mean, you're basically, like, it is park ranger, yeah, managing, you know, ski resort, stuff like, yeah, that. It's pretty badass.
Which, I mean, that one, yeah, that has some specificity to it. Yeah. Like, it sounds cool and,
well,
fun.
Well, it sounds like you're walking around in the woods, yeah, for your degree.
But one of them was, like, beach
going.
Getting
to go outside and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Which, not a bad one.
Kickball.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This is going to be an interesting thing to monitor because this is not going to happen overnight.
No.
Well, there's just too much money for this to just.
If you're the Big 12
on.
Or any other conference,
ACC,
though,
yep.
This is the warning sign, though, that the Big 10 and SEC, they will try to bury you.
Well, speaking of warning signs, the NBA is putting up a giant flashing warning sign. Do not gamble. Terry Rozier of the Miami Heat is now under investigation, federal investigation, after being linked to a potential gambling scandal. The same one that took down Toronto Raptors two-way player and brother of Michael Porter Jr., Jonte Porter, and has him in some serious, serious trouble. We'll get to that here next on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night 1 and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Oh boy. No way. Gambling in sports is a problem?
What?
No, come on. That's not a thing. Scary Terry. Terry Rozier.
I don't think... Is Scary Terry... Is that been stripped from Terry Rozier to Terry McLaurin? I don't think a nickname as identifiable has gone to another person so quickly.
Yeah, it's because he was in obscurity in Charlotte.
Yeah, but it was like Scary Terry in Boston. It was like... Mm-hmm.
I guess there wasn't a lot of time between the two LTs.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson and Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
But it was like...
One of them's a king.
But they're still like in the same realm. Like they're in the same era here with Terry McLaurin and Terry Rozier. But it was just like everybody's like, yeah, no, sorry, Rozier. We found somebody else way more scary, and it's Terry McLaurin. But I digress. Terry Rozier, what did he do?
He was originally cleared by the NBA in the same case and probe that led to the lifetime ban of Raptors player and brother Michael Porter Jr., Jonte Porter, from a game in 2023 where a group of individuals collectively bet the under, and Jonte Porter sold hard and then left the game. And it was like, I think the bet ended up being like $100,000, which, yeah, it's a fair amount of money, but boy, going to jail for that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, I wonder why there was flagged a $100,000 bet on a prop bet for Jonte Porter.
Of which has led to the league taking two-way players off of those. Now, the in the federal probe that is ongoing as it pertains to Terry Rozier is from a game March 23rd of 2023.
Okay.
And this is the statement from the NBA. In March of 23, the NBA was alerted to unusual betting activity related to Terry Rozier's performance at a game against Charlotte and New Orleans. New Orleans, not New Orleans. The league conducted an investigation, did not find a violation of NBA rules. We are now aware of an investigation by the U.S. Attorney's Office of the Eastern District of New York related to this matter and been cooperating with that investigation. Right-o.
So
the NBA better not find, or the Justice Department here better not find out the NBA swept something under the rug.
Yeah. Okay.
Adam Silver will be packed up and launched into the sun, and Terry Rozier will go to jail.
The NBA out there bird boxing it.
You read a tweet earlier from a guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me pull that back up.
Yeah. It was like a guy had tweeted out that he won money on a Terry Rozier prop bet because of the fact that he was going to leave the game early and at some point.
Yeah, so this is from Greg Ehrenberg, who he's the director of daily fantasy content at Stochastic.com.
Mm.
This is a tweet from said game, March 23rd, 2023. As I say, it's a quote tweet. And it's a quote tweet in response to Adam Shearer. Oh, man, books pulled Rozier's lines, then he got hurt mid-game. And he says, Greg Ehrenberg is about to have a time of his life. Ehrenberg quote tweet says, at least I was in on it today. Got lucky. I was fed some inside info that Rozier was leaving in the first or second quarter, depending on game flow and live lines, so that his unders would hit.
Guys, don't tweet your crimes. This is against the law.
Terry? I don't know, Terry.
Yeah.
Situation.
I mean, this is like the guy who got the Alabama baseball coach fired. Who was like, hey, coach told me the starting pitcher's not going to, I need to place this bet when he was at the sports book. You don't tell your crimes to everybody.
Now, does this necessarily indicate that Terry Rozier is the one involved?
No.
This could be coaching. This could be staff members on the coaching staff or tangential support staff.
You said it was January of 2023?
March 23rd, 2023, Charlotte, New Orleans.
Okay, so Charlotte that year was 27-55.
Oh, they were tanking.
They were 27-55 at the end of that. It's the 2022-2023 season then. And at that point in the year, you said it was March?
Okay. March 23rd, 2023.
Okay. They were in a stretch where they had lost 2, 4, That was their fifth loss in the last six games. And then immediately following that, they won three in a row over Dallas twice and then Oklahoma City once and then lost four games in a row and won their final game. Boy, that's a little peculiar, though, that they lose five out of six and then go on a three-game win streak immediately after this. But that seems like a team that was trying to tank and lose.
Well, here's the thing. The federal probe is highlighting some sports books offered Rozier prop bets on that night. Again, March 23rd, 2023. His totals for that night were generally set at around 21.5 points, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds. On March 23rd, then took them down hours before the start of the Charlotte-New Orleans game. It was not clear why that happened, and some bettors weren't allowed why that unusual move had taken place. Rozier was not listed on the team's injury report going into the game.
Yeah, so this could be the team edict. Like, we see this on the text line all the time, right? Where players are like, why is Ant playing this many minutes if they're trying not to win games? And that could be, this could not be Terry Rozier in particular. This could be like, as you said, a support staff member. This could be like a video guy saying, hey, man, coaches meeting, by the way, they're only going to play Terry in the first quarter.
Like, which... faking some injuries, something along those lines. Look, speaking of said Hornets, remember how the Blazers and Hornets were playing just a matter of, what, 10 days ago?
I believe you called that the great suck-off.
I did. And why? How did that game start? Was it very tight, even with LaMelo Ball and Miles Bridges sitting?
I'm not going to lie to you, Danny. When you told me this is going to be the great suck-off, I didn't watch that game because you said this is going to be terrible basketball. I don't remember
Charlotte
any lick
Hornets
of that game.
Either got a 12 or a 14 point lead in that first quarter.
Oh.
And it was maybe good for the tank, right? It's not a bad place to be.
This is fine, guys. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
But then the Martin twin, who was having a nice little game, suddenly was pulled from the game.
Ew. Dang.
Weird how that happened.
Huh.
Now, at least going into that game, he was listed on the injury report, but shenanigans were afoot. Everybody I've talked to about that game was like, yeah, no, Charlotte wasn't going to win that game.
Cody Martin, 5 minutes, yanked.
Mm-hmm. What was his line?
He was 0-for. Yeah. One rebound, one assist. No. Yeah. Yikes.
Not often that you play. They were like, how can we do something here that maybe like Ant will get going or Shaden will get going or
yeah,
like,
but is this a problem with Terry Rozier? Or is this a problem with teams tanking in the NBA and betting? Because of how many people could become aware of, hey, this guy ain't gonna get hit the over. They're not trying to win this game. Because I think on the surface this looks like really bad for Terry Rozier, and it might be very bad for Terry Rozier.
Look, it could be. And again, this is he is not under indictment.
Yeah.
There's a federal probe.
But they're looking into this and being like, was this the player or could this be a product of the team? And then when information about how the team is going to approach a game gets leaked out, and then all of a sudden we have bigger issues afoot here. But obviously there was a red flag put up by the sports book because big money came in and they took his props off. Right? And they
most of the books did, but some of them didn't because they didn't catch word of whatever it was.
Well,
they either
didn't catch word or they didn't have significant, because when they will take a bet off
when they're leveraged,
because it's like, wait a minute, there's way too much coming in here. Like, there's a $100,000 bet on Jontay Porter. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and remove this one.
Yeah, because they have an algorithm that detects all this stuff. Yeah. And they've got people, it's not even a joke, they have people from MIT who make millions of dollars who go work in Vegas. I spent time with the president of a sports book in Summer League last year and got to have an understanding of how they set lines and the things that they do and, you know, kind of not the secret sauce, but Got a peek inside the factory and the stuff that they do and how they do it. Brother, they spend, you wouldn't believe how much money they spend to do this stuff. And it's nothing compared to what they bring in.
Every penny.
So they literally bring in the smartest people on the planet. They NASA can't get these guys because Vegas pays them so much money.
Not bad.
Like, that's not even kidding. Like, that's where these guys, that's their literal rocket scientists who will come work for them and go, yeah, no, we'll help you do the math on this so you can make more millions.
Speaking of rocket science, Did you see the new asteroid that they found the other day?
No, is it going to hit us soon?
No, it turns out wasn't an asteroid. It was the stupid Tesla that Elon Musk launched into space 7 years ago.
Wait, really? Was it actually? I hope so.
I don't.
That'd be more fun.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. But yeah, no, the lines here that did stay on.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, I got to Google this.
No, I'm looking. I wanted to make sure I didn't get got by this because I figured that a couple of you guys would have found this. But there's several outlets that are reporting this. Newly discovered near-Earth asteroid isn't an asteroid at all. It's Elon Musk's trashed Tesla.
He just fired it into space? I didn't know he did that.
Astronomers have retracted the discovery of a new asteroid after realizing the object was the remains of Elon Musk's Tesla Roadster and its driver, Starman, which were launched into space in 2018.
Wow, did he actually try to shoot something into the sun? Because I always want to do that.
Too bad it wasn't himself.
I love the fact that it is looped back around. They're like, we'll never see this thing again. It'll end up on Mars. Nope, coming right back.
Gravitational pull, baby. Went into orbit. But to a little
put Starman was driving, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah.
Put a bow on this for now. The federal probe is open, but if you think this is going to stop here, look. Gambling and official gambling ties, particularly in the NBA, it's the most manipulative sport that can be gambled on in the U.S.
Yeah.
Like baseball, you can with pitching a little bit, but there's so much, you know, variety that can happen there. Basketball, you can shave points easily.
Sure can.
And you don't even have to make it look like anything. You can just have a bad shooting night.
Manipulative sport.
It's simple. And it's going to be interesting to see if this this turns into the end of the gambling partnerships as it pertains to the NBA in general. All right, come up next.
Hold on. I got one more thing on this.
Oh, yeah.
In the Tesla Roadster that was launched into space, David Bowie's album Space Oddity is playing on loop. Wonder if the battery's still rolling on that.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably done by now, huh?
Yeah. I mean, it's Tesla.
Damn.
So, all right, come up next. Let's take a little trip down to the Senior Bowl. Shall we?
Sure, yeah.
Get some news and notes coming out of that. Come up next here. But first, the Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna Burger?
They got you. Well, yeah.
2025 Senior Bowl is on going down in Mobile, right?
Mobile, Alabama.
And there's some folks showing out. There's some folks showing, oops, maybe I shouldn't have come here. But a couple of Oregon Ducks have had themselves a nice little showing over the process.
Yeah, it's crazy how the Senior Bowl has kind of transformed into a place where it can be a separator for a lot of guys. And you guys can see a lot of the notoriety and start to build, and draft stock really does rise because you have high-level players that are going, and they're actually playing really well and participating in these things. I mean, I think to last year, this is really where Ladd McConkey's stock went through the roof. It's where Quinyon Mitchell, his stock went absolutely skyrocketed. For linemen,
did it work for them?
Yeah, it worked really well for both of those guys. But they were also high-level players in college, too, and they got to be seen on a stage around everybody else that they're competing for these spots with. And so I think it's cool that the Reese's Senior Bowl has kind of taken the mantle as the premier Senior Bowl game and kind of farewell. And, you know, there's a whole, I think there's six Ducks participating in it. Eight were invited. I think two went and did measurements and then
called it good.
And then kind of called it good there. But yesterday, Josh Connerly, he got dump trucked by Mike Green, like the Marshall defensive lineman.
Yeah, it was like a bullet being shot out of a gun because he's given up 80 pounds, if not more.
I mean, he timed that snap up. He got under Connerly. Connerly just was standing too high. Got boop.
Low gone. Man won.
I also think it's hilarious that people are like, his draft stock's plummeting now. One rep doesn't.
It's a fun little moment.
But do you see what Mike Green did? He said, nope, I'm good.
Yeah.
He left.
He put it on tape and said, that's what I can do.
Yeah. By the way, I had 17 and a half sacks this year. Yeah. I'm out. I showed you guys what I can do. I put all the good tape out. Yeah. I'm good.
I don't need to show you anymore.
Hell yeah.
you go at a guy who's looked at as a late first, early second round type tackle, and you tea kettle him.
Yeah.
And it's not like he kind of got him. Sometimes those. No, he rolled him.
Yeah, he did. He got him good.
It happens. But when you get that thing on tape and you've had the production you've had, pack it up, get to the combine, baby.
We're out. We'll see you guys later. It was good. It was nice everybody meeting you. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. But, I mean, that ultimately won't determine Josh Connerly's stock.
No.
Dylan Gabriel, whose measurements, 5'10 and a half, is what he came in at. His hand size was fine. Like, yesterday, there was this thing going on that he set, like, the record for velocity out of his hand.
Like, by a lot, too.
But he didn't.
Okay. Yeah. The measurement and where it takes place is completely different than the
combine. Yeah, they, at the Senior Bowl, they register it out of the hand. And so it wasn't even the fastest one yesterday at the Senior Bowl, but it caught waves and caught attention. He is actually having a really good Senior Bowl, and people are raving about it. Due to seeing everything you could see in football, his intelligence is not what is going to be a problem for him. It's going to be his size.
Overcoming the size.
And look, a lot of quarterbacks have tried to do that and tried to overcome that. That's not going to be the thing. Dylan Gabriel is as smart as they get. Arm slots, he can do it from any arm slot, but you know, nobody's expecting him to be a first or second round pick.
No.
Third round
pick. And he's not changing anybody's mind with that year.
No, he isn't.
But he could solidify himself as potentially a third round kind of guy.
Two guys that are absolutely solidifying their place in the NFL. Dude, Tez Johnson is a small guy. He was 5'9 and
156?
Yeah, 156 pounds. He is seen as, and CBS Sports had him as one of the stock risers of the Senior Bowl because everybody knew he was slight. I mean, you watch him and you're like, it's a small guy.
But he's also playing with Dylan Gabriel, which is a nice way to have that rapport.
But what he is getting is separation against everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that has kind of been the reoccurring theme is Tez is he's not just fast. Tez is a really good route runner. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the NFL has for him because he's 5'9", 156 pounds.
I think we looked at, we put him as the lightest guy in the NFL.
He is, but his speed, his awareness, the fact that we've seen him do this, and he said this in a post-game interview, and I was like, wait, what? Because he says when he catches the ball, he looks for the third guy. First two guys, he's going to make them miss. Mm-hmm. His eyes are always on third guy. And you see that when in games, like Tez will either catch a ball and just go down and be like, nope,
not this time.
First two guys, they're going to get me. I'm going to go down. But he has that knack of, all right, where's the third guy? I'm going to go down. That's it. And you have to have that awareness when you're that small.
Yeah, because you get hit in the NFL when
can't take shots.
Guys are taking, you know, you got guys that are 100 pounds heavier regularly, let alone one of them big boys up front.
Mm-hmm. But the other guy who's impressing and was on the CBS Sports draft stock risers was Jeffrey Bossa, a guy who came in as a safety at Oregon. They bumped him down into the box. He played middle linebacker, but where he
on his bones,
they green dotted him.
Mm-hmm.
So as the guy calling the shots for, you know, the defenses for, I think the Browns are coaching his team.
Okay. Yep.
So he's got all the helmet communications in there. He's a guy that apparently is impressing based on the fact that he can cover backs out and tight ends very effectively. And that's kind of where Bossa will stick in the NFL. He will be a special teams guy, and he will be a third down linebacker that you can trust, can
linebacker
play sideline to sideline, and he can defend backs out, tight ends, and you're going to be okay there. But, I mean, those two guys, Tez and Bossa, being on the draft stock risers, that's good for them, man. And, you know, if you've never heard Bossa speak to, that dude is sharp.
Oh, yeah. We had him sharp on the Big Ten days, the media days. I mean, that's a great dude.
He's awesome.
One of the biggest baby fallers so far has been Jalen Milroe. And Todd McShay said, he threw a nice deep ball and he can do that. He goes, I think you can sense a butt coming, but he can't throw it shorter intermediate. It's like, he can't throw it short or intermediate. That seems like a problem. That seems like where quarterbacks live in the NFL. So
he had 8 3/4 inch hands.
Yeah.
Which is the only guy quarterback in the NFL who did not have 9 inch hands was Taysom Hill last year.
Oof.
The only one.
Yikes.
And like right as I turned on the Senior Bowl and I read that, I looked up at the screen and
threw the ball to the ground.
No, he went to cock back and the ball just went whoop. Right out of his hand.
All right, come up next. We'll finish up today's show with a little look at Blazers Magic. Danny and Dustin and the family.
Ooh.
Bone Trail Blazers take on the Orlando Magic here in a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
Paolo Banchero had, I was just talking with somebody last night about this. Paolo Banchero had his worst game, I think, as a professional, and maybe the worst game I've ever seen him play, including high school and college.
Yeah.
Going 1 of 14 with 5 turnovers.
Okay.
I have a reeling suspicion that is not going to happen tonight. Somebody in the text line said, should I bet on the Trailblazers tonight? And my answer to any of you asking about whether or not you should bet on the Trailblazers is no. Do not. There's far too much volatility. Now, on the spread, they're actually, over the last 2 weeks, I want to say within a point of like average. But that can vary because, remember, they were 7.5-point dogs in Miami. They were 6-point dogs in Orlando on that trip. And then they were the game that they lost. What was the game? Oklahoma City. They were 14-point dogs, and they covered.
Oh,
so
you're telling me Paolo his we have a plus 105 odds at 25 points.
Well, I don't think he's had too many monster games lately. I think he's 19. What did you say he was? 19 for 57 coming in yesterday.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
Again, that's take the 1 of 14 out of it. He's 18 for.
He's shooting 33% over his last five games.
Yeah, even if you take that one game out, he's still shooting in the low 40s. Not great for a guy who doesn't shoot from the field. He gets to the rim.
Yeah.
So my PSA, don't bet the Blazers. Don't bet props, particularly
don't
in the NBA.
It. Yes, as we learned in the 215 segment.
Yeah, it's number one, they could get taken off the board. Number two, there's just too much volatility in the NBA. Now, you can find some value in some spreads, certainly, but they're in more veteran teams.
100%.
Young teams, volatility reigns supreme.
Hey, BT Dubs, have you guys seen the snow forecast?
Yep, snowpocalypse, here we come.
It's supposed to be warm, though, but...
it's not going to stick. Yeah, maybe not for you guys.
Yeah,
maybe. Don't we always get more down in the valley?
Maybe up in the hills. Maybe up in the hills. All right. By the way, that's not like today or tomorrow. That's like next week.
Yeah.
That'll do it for us today.
You don't tell me what to do.
Is it still Football Friday tomorrow?
I don't know. It's only the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl Friday?
There's no football.
No.
Because they only play flag.
That's right.
Womp womp.
That's right. All right. 4 hours of power. The band is back together. Primetime with Isaac and Sook from 3 to 7. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We will see you tomorrow from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Smiles and glory holes.
Or maybe they want to do a little dump on you.
That is an atrocity.
Hey, it's 3-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schler of the Visinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.